You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hello and welcome to 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast. And on Friday, the 29th of March, it's time for our Friday Five, where we take a look at the top five news stories all about Nottingham Forest this week. In a moment, I'll be joined by Tom, but in the meantime, we're going to head it over to Jamie Martin on the 1865 news desk to give you the week's roundup.
Hi, this is Jamie Martin with your top five Forest stories from the 1865 news desk. Now, the headline to this week's news: Nottingham Forest have appealed their points deduction. It was announced by the club earlier this week that they would be appealing the Premier League's recent ruling that the club would receive a four-point deduction. After receiving the penalty last week for a breach of profit and sustainability rules by approximately £34.5 million above the threshold, Nottingham Forest issued a statement which alluded to their frustration and likelihood of appeal. We now know that they will do so, and the club's legal team, led by leading sports lawyer Nick DiMarco KC, believes there is a good case for appeal and that the club have received an excessive punishment. The club are expected to hear in the coming weeks whether their appeal was successful, with the likelihood being, if successful, a point could be reduced off of the points docked, with 3 points being the standard penalty for any breach. So it's unlikely to go lower than the 3 points they were originally breached. More updates to come soon. Now, the second bit of news for this week: Nottingham Forest have received a fine for post-Liverpool scenes. Following the ugly scenes that followed the poor refereeing performance in Forest's loss to Liverpool, a fine has been handed to Nottingham Forest and a member of their coaching team. During the post-match scenes, players and staff at the club surrounded referee Paul Tierney, frustrated at a drop ball incident which broke the rules of the game and led to a Liverpool counter-attack and goal. In that time, Felipe was carded and Stephen Reid was given a red card for an exchange with Tierney, in which the referee recounts being called the C-word on numerous occasions by the Irish first team coach. Forest, as a result, have been handed a £75,000 fine, and Stephen Reid himself has been fined £5,000 for his involvement in the events that followed the loss, with both club and Reid expected to contact the FA in the coming weeks. Now, some transfer-related news this week. Divock Origi's loan will not be made permanent, reports say. Reports from Italy coming in this week suggest that Nottingham Forest loan striker from AC Milan is set to head back to the north of Italy upon the conclusion of his loan, with the club not looking to make it permanent. Since arriving from Milan back in the summer, Origi has failed to register a single goal in all competitions for the Reds and has failed to live up to previous glories he saw while playing for Liverpool just seasons before. Featuring both as a striker and winger, Origi has certainly been better in form as of late, but is failing to execute still, and because of this, Forest will not activate the £4 million plus permanent buy clause, according to journalist Danielle Longo of Calcio Mercato news site. With just 9 games left to go, despite the likelihood of him rejoining Milan, could Origi turn his and Forest's fortunes around and save the club from the drop? We'll have to wait and see. Now, this week, the City Ground hosted the Prime Minister ahead of the founding of a new health initiative. Recently, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, Rishi Sunak, was welcomed by Forest owner Evangelos Marinakis as part of a collaboration to unveil a brand new community health initiative in the region. Alongside E.ON, Nottingham Forest announced the initiative, which wants a new vision for sport and to ensure that health is promoted in the region, specifically those sports, and ensuring that the facilities and means to become more healthy are available to all across the city and the wider region. With MP Ben Bradley and Rishi Sunak backing the initiative alongside the ownership of the club, kids were invited from local schools to play on the pitch and promote the plans. Evangelos Marinakis championed the ideas presented by the new initiatives and the impact it will have, himself promising to spend and do, to quote, whatever is needed to make sure the project is a success. And the final piece of news this week, players do Forest proud during the international break. The international break is now over, but during that period, a number of Forest players featured, all doing their club proud during the break, with a couple even winning a trophy. Omar Medeli and Sels featured heavily for Ireland and Belgium. Ribeiro scored twice for Portugal's under-19s. Matt Turner and Gio Reyna won the CONCACAF final, and with Reyna getting a goal and two assists during the last two games. Willy Bolly, though, he featured in a 2-2 draw with Benin, but came off during the break with an injury. Williams featured for Wales in their win over Finland and penalties lost to Poland. And despite the loss, he was superb throughout. Did his country proud, as did all the Forest players out on international duties recently. All round, though, a good international break with little issues to report. And that's always nice to see. So that is the latest from the 1865 News Desk. I'm Jamie Martin. Be sure to catch up with me on social media via @I'mJamieMartin on Twitter. Updates on Nottingham Forest Rangers related news throughout the week.
Thank you, Jamie. Now, since Jamie's roundup yesterday, we learned of the sad passing of former Nottingham Forest and European Cup winner with Forest, Larry Lloyd, who passed away at the age of 75. He signed for Forest in 1976 and played a crucial part in Forest promotion to the second division, their first division triumph, and of course, those famous European Cup winning runs. He made over 200 appearances for Brian Clough's side and started both European finals alongside Kenny Burns, leaving Forest a year later and going on to manage Wigan Athletic and Notts County. Tom, Larry played for Forest before my time, but you know, we both knew the name fondly, and it's a very sad day for everyone associated with Forest.
Yeah, it is, and he'll always be remembered of forming that formidable partnership with Kenny Burns in the late 70s, early 80s, and and that period of the club will never be forgotten. So, later on in his life, he did have a prominent part of being on co-commentary for Gem AM, if people remember that, with Dan Fletcher and all of that. But yeah, Larry Lloyd is, he will never be forgotten for what he's brought to at Nottingham Forest in those years in the late 70s and early 80s.
Yeah, well said. And that's a couple of the miracle men we've lost over the last couple of years. So everyone at 1865 sends our deepest condolences to Larry's close friends and family. Rest in peace, Larry Lloyd. Let's move on to this week's other news topics then, starting with the PSR appeal that's been the main story, I guess, from Forest this week. We did the big pod at the weekend, came out on Monday, and then on Monday night, the club announced that they'd appeal. I guess we're a bit unsure, but with Marinakis, I think it was always going to head that way in the end. And it looks like now Forest are jostling between a point. It's unlikely that we're going to see a point taken off us further, and we may get one back. So, Tom, it's not a surprise, but would you have done the same if you were in the hierarchy of the club?
Well, when the club, when it came out that was going to be getting the point deduction, then we had to wait for the week for the see if we was going to lodge an appeal. At the start, I said no, just because it could have been a lot worse. So, like, basically take your medicine and move on. But with the statement what come out, which was quite damning regarding the rules and regulations, we know that we're guilty of breaking the rules. But how can you compete?
Yeah,
from where we was in the Championship coming into the Premier League, when you've got like clubs, I get why, like the likes of Man United, Liverpool have players and they've got squad values of over £500 million. Then we come in and they're basically saying, well, you're only allowed to lose 61 million. Then they're basically saying now, and if you look at the commission report, is that your bonuses get taken off. So you're already like handicapped before you've even kicked a ball in the Premier League. So there's a lot of like inaccuracies regarding the report and everything. And then when the statement come out, this, I'm not surprised Forest are basically going, if we're going to go down, we'll go down kicking and fighting. And then these new rules, which I know are going to be voted in, but it just makes it, it's becoming very much a closed shop. And this is probably like for another day subjects, but the merit, there's a, I'm not saying it's solely the Americans' fault, but a lot of American ownership's coming into the Premier League now. If you look at like Everton might be taken over by that 777 group. Mm-hmm. You've got Todd Bowley at Chelsea. You've got the guys at Man United. I know Jim Ratcliffe's come on, but it's only like a minority stake. And then you've got the guys at Palace, David Blitzen and all of that. And it seems that these rules, the want to make it more of a closed shop. And if it's like 85% of your revenue, clubs like us can't compete. And then the teams coming from the Championship, you may as well just like, you may as well just basically relegate us on the first game of the season, because that's how it's becoming. So yeah, I'm not surprised Forest are appealing. If there was a massive chance of like Forest having additional points put on, I'll probably say don't bother. But if now it's been said that we're not going to get any additional points with the appeal, then I'll just go down kicking and fighting, to be honest. And I think with that statement, it probably other clubs are looking at it and thinking, no, Forest have got a point here. How can teams from the Championship compete? Because it's like, okay, we've spent a lot of money and we've wasted a lot of money. There's no denying that. But then on the flip side, is it against the integrity of the competition, which I've said many times before? You come into the Premier League, don't spend any money, then your camel fodder for in a flight, say we don't spend any money, you've got a team who looking at another team saying, oh, I hope Forest beat them because of obviously positional status in the Premier League, etc. You know, if they're like gunning for like relegation or promotion or something, and we're getting beat every week and can't compete because obviously we haven't put the money in, surely that's against the integrity of the competition. So I think that statement's basically to say, look, we're doing it for teams like us.
Yeah.
Basically give us a bit of a chance in the Premier League, because if it becomes a closed shop, then seriously, what's the point of the Premier League? What's the point of being in it? If you're not like the top six, what's the point? It's like with Aston Villa and Newcastle, they're aspiring to break into that top six, and there's rumours now they've got to sell one of their better players, and it's like, well, how's that allowed? But then you've got like Chelsea. I know Chelsea have sold players, but they've not been in Europe for a long time. Mm-hmm. So how can they spend billions on players and not have any sanctions at the moment? Then you got like Villa, who have basically come from the Championship a few years back, built year by year, and can't compete. I just think that's goes against the grain of the integrity of the competition in my eyes.
And Forest could have quite easily came up and done what, being a Sheffield United, like you say, being panned every week, because they were similar to us, weren't they? They lost Hamer and Berger, two of their best players, and I, wasn't it, to Marseille? And we were in a similar position. We lost most of our squad to obviously loan signings and stuff. We kept Brennan, but we lost the core of our squad, and we could have quite easily not replaced them, stayed within the rules, but we had to give ourselves a chance to stay up, and ultimately it's worked for us. And yeah, like you say, some of the spending wasn't very clever, but in the end, the club has stayed up, and I'm sure they'd have taken this position. In the roundup, Jamie said the club felt the appeal was harsh. I mean, many Forest fans think this is possibly best case scenario, 4 points. So do you think that the appeal was harsh? Decision?
No, the rules are there, aren't they? But it's... Paul Faulkner was mentioned on the Shut Up and Show More Football pod in the last couple of days that there's too many caveats to the rules. You see the rules and what's been broken, then if you look at the clubs, what have done it, nothing's crystal clear. You look at Everton, that's a completely different case to us, and ours is a different case to Manchester City and so on. And then obviously you've got the situation what Leicester have got, where potentially they could have a point deduction if and when they get promoted for next season. So I just think it's an absolute mess. And obviously it's not showing the Premier League in a good light at the moment. But when the decision was made that it was going to be 4 points, I was like expecting it could have been six, it could have been 10. And the Premier League lobbied for more, didn't they? And we got like a 4 points. So I think we did better than I thought. But with that statement and everything, there's no surprise that Forest are obviously going to appeal, and if we're going to go down, we're going to go down kicking and fighting.
Yeah, well, the Premier League won today, didn't they? So Forest to get four looks quite good on that. So I don't want to repeat everything that's been said, because that's all Forest Media have been talking about. So we'll look ahead like, with the consideration of the deduction. So 4 points at the minute could maybe go down to three. And if we look at where Forest are, we're just a point behind Luton, but our next two games are at home to Crystal Palace, and Fulham, whereas Luton go away to Tottenham and away to Arsenal in the next two games. It doesn't get much tougher than that. I mean, I suppose they can stay in the same hotel at least. Forest should be able to make at least a point up to Luton, you'd think. So do you think by the end of these two games we'll be above them?
Yeah, the Premier League, and you just want... You don't want things to be decided in courtrooms and on Zoom meetings with legal representatives. So, yeah, you want it to be done and dusted on the football pitch. So, even including the Luton game, the three games were massive, weren't they? You would have thought that potentially, no disrespect to Luton, you would have thought that you would have got something at Luton. I know we've got a point, but you probably go into that game expecting a win how they are, and on another day, if those efforts from Alanga and Origi go in, we could be 2 points above them. But then you look at the Palace and they've been a bit iffy, haven't they, with Oliver Glasner going in, and I think it's a good time for Glasner to go in because obviously he can evaluate the squad ready for the summer kind of thing. So yeah, we beat Palace last season, didn't we, before the World Cup? So, yeah, it's a massive game. And then Tuesday's a massive game. But Fulham are quite a decent side, aren't they? I thought they would struggle with Mitrovic going to Saudi Arabia. So, these are two massive games because obviously we've got Spurs a week on Sunday, which isn't obviously going to be easy now. It's been rearranged because of industrial action, isn't it? So yeah, these next two games are massive for Forest, and like I said, with it being back-to-back home games, and I think as a fan base in the last week or so since the news come out, I think it's going to galvanise us, and I think Garibaldi, Football Forza Garibaldi, are going to be doing something, aren't they? And just to get that feel-good factor back on Trent's side, and if we get 3 points come 5 o'clock on Saturday, it's going to look a lot better for us.
Yeah, two massive games, and I don't think it would be unrealistic to be expecting Forest to be back above Luton after those two games. We'll move on to the second story that Jamie brought us then about the Forest, the club, and Stephen Reid's punishment following the Liverpool loss. Now, the fine may go against the club's PSR record for next season, so we'll wait for that, but I'm sure £75,000 isn't going to break Marinakis' pockets, although Stephen Reid also got charged. I remember that game and I turned around and I was just in absolute disarray, shock. I didn't have any words, but many Forest fans were feeling exactly the same as Stephen Reid was. So I don't think we can really support what Stephen Reid said to him, what's came out in the report. But Tom, it's nice to see that somebody from the coaching staff was sticking up for Forest and not just taking it.
During it, we've been all like, when we've either played in football matches and a decision doesn't go your way, you do get a bit irate. And it's no surprise that if it wasn't Nuno, it was going to be someone with the decision what happened. Because, like I said, I know there's from when the ball got put down in Liverpool's area and when the goal was scored, it was 2 minutes. And I know that's a long time in football or something like that. But obviously the dynamics of that instant of the game, it could have been completely different if we had the ball in that corner and everything. So with Stephen Reid saying that, I know it's not a good advert for grassroots because there's a lot of been said about respect to referees and everything, but Paul Turner's never had to come out and explain his decision. He's not really been punished as he should, because I think he got a game the week after.
Yeah, VAR he was on.
And we've got the best league in the world it's had the most money in English football history, and they can't get the VAR decision right, et cetera, et cetera. So there's no wonder that people are going to be irate. But there was an article today, I can't remember who it was, and he was going on about Stephen Reid's conduct and everything, but nobody says anything about when Jurgen Klopp's...
No, exactly. Yeah, and he bullies Paul Turner.
Yeah, he does. And we see it's not like it's a new thing from Klopp. He's been doing it in his whole tenure when he's been at Liverpool. Nobody gets said about that. But seeing it's Forest and we're not the flavour of the month at the moment, and with all the other bits and bobs what we've created for ourselves, it goes back to that top six bias, and everybody's got a Klopp loving at the moment because he's leaving and all of that. And the guy can do no wrong in the eyes of the media. But as soon as we have a decision, which it's not the first decision what's not gone our way. We've had, you can probably write a book at, by the end of the season about how many decisions have gone against us. And but referees are not accountable. I'm not condoning what Stephen Reid said, because obviously, yeah, the C word, it's probably the worst of the worst of words to use when you're mad with somebody, etc. But yeah, if the referee did the job and knew the rules inside out, we wouldn't be having this conversation, and Stephen Reid will be $5,000 lighter and the club would be $75,000 lighter. So yeah, it's about time referees become accountable in some way, whether it's a day later so they can have time to reflect. But I don't think it's going to change anytime soon.
No, I think accountability is the key. Like, why can't they just come and have a post-match interview like everyone else does, or answer a few questions the day after or things like that? And we see things like Ref Watch on TV and stuff. They could just come out themselves. And then, you know, and there's all these referee analysts coming in and things like that. So it's just a bit of a weird situation for Forest.
And they don't necessarily need to be in the studio. You can just do it on a Zoom call. Why are you giving that decision, et cetera? But yeah, the whole officiating side of the game needs to be looked at in the close season, because VAR is absolute mockery, and we're meant to have the best. Like, a few years ago, people were saying, "Oh, we've got the best officials and everything." That we've regressed on that. I think they've got worse referees, because I think they're scared of the media scrutiny of making a wrong decision. They rely too much on VAR and everything. Yeah. And sometimes it'd be nice if a referee just ref the game. And I've always been of the opinion of this, and I think Howard Webb's also said we can't do it this way, but a bit like cricket, a manager has like two appeals, or two appeals a game. And if you've got something what you need to be looked at, says just like say to the referee, "I want to check that decision," kind of thing. And if you don't get your decision, you don't, you lose your appeal, and if you win the appeal, you still
keep it
kind of thing. But yeah, there's a lot of anomalies in the game at the moment, but a lot of it is like people compare it to rugby, but rugby is factual. You know, if the ball's moved forward, and a lot of the ruling in football and decisions made are subjective, so that's where the problem lies.
Yeah, and Howard Webb does his show with Michael Owen, referees mic'd up or something, but I've never seen a Forest decision on there, and I'd love to have seen the tape for that one. And there's a lot of frustration around it at the minute, isn't there? Because I think we had frustration about the referees and poor management, injustices. So I think the international break offers a huge chance for Forest to sort of, it's all bottled up, to forget that, throw that away, and focus on the final nine games.
But another thing is that we played Luton, no disrespect to Luton, but they're in the bottom three. They've just come up in everything. And because there's no like media scrutiny on that game to a certain degree, there was no contentious refereeing decisions. We didn't go back to the car thinking, "Oh, why didn't he give that?" I thought the referee, I can't remember who the referee was now, I thought he had a very, very good
Darren
game.
England,
And nothing was contentious, but I'm telling you now that if we was playing a top six side, there'd be something contentious in that game, because obviously, and that's what, and then you're thinking, "Oh, the word corruption's strong," but you can actually see it happening. Kind of thing. It's like if it's like Sheffield United playing Bournemouth or something like that, there'd be no decisions made. But if Sheffield United were playing Liverpool and there was a contentious decision, you can guarantee Liverpool will get that decision, because obviously it's like trying to keep the top six and the top six kind of thing. So, but
and I saw something as well that Forest are at the top of some chart saying we've been benefited by VAR. I mean, someone needs to check their stats there. But we're going to take a break and have a rest from ranting. But before we do, I'm sure you'll have heard about Fan Park, Forest's biggest fan park in Nottingham. You'll be able to see me and Ellie there regularly, and they've got an update to give us just before we go to the break.
Hi, George, and the rest of the 1865 team. Do hope you are all well, and great to see so much good Forest content out there at the minute. So keep up the great work with the podcast. Max here to give you a very important message about Fan Park. It's been going for a few weeks now. We were at Binks Yard. We've been getting going, and we're going to take things up a new level. We've stepped things up with a brand new location, which we move into on Saturday to the Crystal Palace game. The new location, I'm delighted to say, podcast exclusive for the 1865, is the Brew House Bar and Kitchen, right opposite the City Ground on Trent Bridge on the banks of the River Trent, less than a two-minute walk. You could probably jog it. It's from probably wherever you live to your next door neighbour's house. It's that close. For all the pre-match entertainment, there's happy hour, so cheap pints. Who doesn't love a cheap beer? Come on. Things like that. We've got food vendors, nice street food. We've got pre-match entertainment. George will tell you all about that. He's on stage every week with the microphone. So we've got lots of stuff like that to keep you entertained. Special guests too. Cheap tickets, but free tickets. That's the main thing. Free tickets if you get them online before. Just search Fan Park on your browser, Google or whatever, or fanpark.co.uk. Get yourself down there for Fan Park on Saturday. Brand new location, Brewhouse Bar and Kitchen on Trent Bridge. And we're doing the Euros in the summer, so search and get your tickets for then. What more do you want? Entertainment, cheap pints, and a good location to hang out before a huge Forest game against Palace. Come to Fan Park Saturday at Brewhouse Bar and Kitchen.
We're pleased to announce that this episode of 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast, is sponsored by Green King Sport, where football is more than a game. Green King Sport venues are showing every single televised Forest fixture over the 23-24 season. And with more than 900 sports pubs across the UK, it doesn't matter where you're based, you can catch every single minute of the action. If you download the Green King Sport app, you won't just get 10% off all drinks anytime there's a match on the TV, but this month there's also free Guinness to be won and the chance to win one of six holidays. And you'll be supporting us here at 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
You're listening to 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast.
Hello and welcome back to 1865, the Friday Five. Thank you, just before the break, to Max Hayes for bringing us a little update about Fan Park. Hope to see as many of you as possible at the new location. But let's move it on to the third story that Jamie Martin brought us, which is that Divock Origi's loan will not be made permanent after this season upon his expiry in June. Origi was brought in, I guess, as a third striker to Taiwo Awoniyi and Chris Woods. And I guess with good pedigree, he's kind of underwhelmed and has ended up playing on the wing now. So it's no real surprises there, Tom.
No, and yeah, I think he started the season without a pre-season, and he's always like playing catch-up, hasn't he? And it's took him till what, last few weeks to actually start games on a consistent basis. And yeah, he's Origi. Every time I've seen him, he does score important goals, but he was never really a starter at Liverpool, and then he goes to AC Milan, and he's not really a starter there. Is it Rafael Leao? I can't remember his name, the Portuguese lad. Yeah. So he's not going to get in front of him, but he's done all right in the last couple of weeks. But he had those chances against Brighton, which we touched on in the match report when we did that.
And Luton.
He had a chance the other week, didn't he, against Luton. So, yeah, he's just, I honestly do think that Forrest tried to get Michy Batshuayi and for whatever reason didn't get him. So, and Origi was there and he's like, well, may as well take a punt on him. He's on loan and see how he gets on. But I think he's on big money. So it's a bit like the Lingard, isn't it? He's like, he's come with like a lot of, he's coming like with, you think he's going to do something and it hasn't really transpired, has it? So,
yeah.
It's been a bit of like a mediocre signing. I wouldn't say it's a disastrous because obviously it's not like we've paid big money out for him apart from the wages side of things, but it's just one of those where we needed another body in terms of striker. He's come in, he's done his best. He's got his Rafik Jabeur S goal against Bristol in the cup, where he's basically on the line kind of thing. But I think when Felipe had a shot from a, was it from a set piece or something like that? So yeah, he's done all right, but he hasn't been spectacular, and we'll like part ways in the summer.
Yeah, that's the thing. We've seen Felipe do his acrobatic celebration twice and both goals haven't stood. So I'm hoping he gets a chance before the end of the season. But I think there's a few things, well, a couple of things Forest can learn from this signing. Firstly, the point you made, the fact that we've had two big name signings in the last 2 years coming to the Premier League. And Lingard, although looked good as a sort of cheerleader for the squad, didn't really contribute on the pitch. And I guess Origi's done more than Lingard did on the pitch, but hasn't really worked as a signing. And then secondly, maybe as that position, why are we not using Rodrigo Ribeiro? So maybe have a young striker in that position as your third striker, as opposed to an aging 30 plus striker who's here for the money, maybe.
Yeah, with Lingard, he just started to be hitting form, you know, around about the just before the World Cup. Then he got that injury, didn't he? And that was basically it for Lingard. So, but again, he didn't really have a pre-season and he could never keep himself fit, could he? And same with Origi.
Yeah, so let's move on to story number four. And that is that last Friday, Nottingham Forest hosted Rishi Sunak at the City Ground to help a new community health initiative that the club is leading. It's news that hasn't really gone down that well in a Labour-heavy city that Nottingham is, which isn't a surprise. But I suppose, Tom, the positive can be drawn is that Forest are on the map and can attract opportunities like this.
Yeah, it's a great initiative health-wise for like young kids in the city, because the city's quite deprived compared to the rest of the country in terms of like poverty and all of that. So it's a good initiative. But when you've got like a fan base of 30,000+ of different political allegiances, you're not going to please everybody, are you? And I mean, the father of the house is actually a season ticket holder in the director's spot, Kenneth Clark, and he's a Tory, isn't he? And nobody kicks off about him, but seeing Richie Sunak's there, and yeah, it's one of those just... I get why people who are probably like in a political bias obviously going to get their backs up at the end of the day, but... He's trying to launch like an initiative, and if the initiative's good for like kids in our city in the coming years, it's a good initiative. But yeah, you're not going to please everybody regarding political backgrounds and all that type of thing. So, but yeah, it's one of them really.
In the clip, there was a clip they put out about the kids playing football, and one of them scored from a Morgan Gibbs White corner. So hopefully that can be something that starts to happen, because that was the best one I've seen him deliver all season. So what do you think about football and politics mixing them, Tom? Because over the past month, we've seen Labour collaborated to talk about Forest with the PSR. Tories collaborated about the stadium moving thing. There's not really a sort of collaboration, if you like, which I think would have been more powerful than separate MPs from separate parties doing things. So what are your thoughts on that briefly?
Yeah, it's quite... it's no coincidence, is it, that there's a general election coming up, and and I think these letters going out regarding the stadium and certain initiative, it's probably like trying to get like voters on the good side of the Tories at the moment and all of that. But at the end of the day, people have enough issues in life in terms of life pressures, mental health, and sometimes they just want to go to a football match just for a release kind of thing. So you don't want to be like bogged down with like political nonsense, do you? You just want to go and support your local team on a Saturday. So I don't like politics being mixed with football kind of thing, because you can park that, and politics can have a different stage in the week kind of thing. But on a Saturday, the man in the street just wants to go and watch his football match, and he doesn't want to be bogged down with all the political nonsense. So hopefully we can just like keep them away from each other and just enjoy the football for what it is.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. So finally, let's move on to the last story Jamie brought us then, touching on the international break. We'll go maybe player by player, country by country. Start with Matt Sells, because I had the pleasure of seeing him in the flesh at Wembley, him and Laura Mangala. I was at the England-Belgium game. Good job we scored that late goal, because we definitely deserve that. Belgium were not at it, and it had to be two individual mistakes that cost England for that one. But Tom, we've got four international goalkeepers. Matt Sells finally looking like one that we can trust.
Yeah, and he's very good with his feet, isn't he? And some of the his distribution, I mean, it's not much of an, I can put it, you don't have to like be absolutely fantastic, be an upgrade on Matt Turner when the, it comes to distribution. But yeah, Matt sells some of his passing, etc. It is really good. And I can't remember who the, was it Thayer, the left back, and he just pinged the ball out to him. And yeah, he just like took two England midfielders out of the game. And he is a decent goalkeeper, Matt Selzers. And the save what he made from, I think it was Bellingham or Bowen, one of the two.
And he made it look easy.
Yeah, he did with his foot and everything. And he had a good performance. I was watching it in Northumberland at the time because I've been away for the last week. But he is a decent goalkeeper. But like I says, with looking at the other goalkeepers, they haven't really done it, haven't they? So, I mean, he only has to like have a couple of passes a match to a Forest player to make him look head and shoulders above Matt Turner. So, Matt Sells, he has done okay since his his debut away at, I think it was Bournemouth, wasn't it? Start of February, wasn't it? So,
Nice not to be worried whenever a goalkeeper gets near the ball. We'll move on to Rodrigo Ribeiro then, two goals for Portugal under 19s. He always seems to score for the youth team for Portugal, but not really given a chance for Forest. So, could this be the chance that he gets finally, or do you think it'll be the same old story that he'll be struggling to find game time?
Hopefully, he's in the same bracket as Giorena. I mean, he had a decent week, didn't he, with the US national squad. So, and I would have liked Reina to potentially come on for Gibbs-White against Luton after he went off instead of Chiarte. I just respect to Chiarte, but...
Yeah. Now, Chiarte was Brighton. Chiarte was Brighton, wasn't it? And Reina looked even on the bench for that. And then he was on the bench at Luton and he brought Dominguez on, which,
I just think Reina's just a weird signing, isn't he? I mean, he come with really good pedigree from Dortmund and everything, played in Champions League, played for the US national team, and what we've seen in about 10 minutes altogether, and it's a waste, and we've only got 9 games of the season left or whatever it is. So, I'd like Reina to actually probably just come in and probably just like take a bit of the pressure off Morgan Gibbs-White, because if Morgan Gibbs-White's not on it and essentially Langer's not on it and he hasn't been playing Hudson-Odoi in recent weeks, where's the creativity going to come from? So, you got a real talent there with Gio Reyna, and I'd like to see Nuno actually play him a bit more in this running kind of thing. And if Gibbs-White's flagging after 60 minutes, because he does put a lot in, put Reyna on in his natural position, and you're just keeping that like continuity in the side and everything, rather than messing around with your bloody midfield, like with bringing Dominguez on again as a striker. It's just daft. And just in the last couple of weeks, it's just, I don't know if it's stubbornness or something like that, but Nuno's just made some odd decisions. And when managers are under pressure and they've got the scrutiny and everything what's surrounding the club at the moment, with VAR scrutiny, PSR scrutiny and all of that, the managers can potentially make some like weird decisions kind of thing. So hopefully this week we get to see Reina.
Yeah, the option's there, and it seems daft to not use him, especially when he's got so much potential. Just finally then, a two-pointed question. Firstly, Nico, some fantastic performance as well. It's obviously disappointing he didn't get through, but a fantastic free kick, solid penalty. He's been a revelation since he joined the side. And should he be on set plays? And secondly, Willy Bolly going off injured, there's always going to be a negative to an international break, isn't there?
Yeah, it seems like every time Bolly or one of the other players goes for international duties, they come back with an injury. So hopefully it's not too serious. And I thought he played really well against Luton, so hopefully he'd be fit to play Palace. I don't know what Nuno said in his pre-match. I haven't listened to it yet. So, hopefully with that hype, because if Mateta plays, then obviously you need to match up against him, because he is he's a presence, isn't he, for Palace? And Williams, I think it was like last season, the game against Liverpool. Since then, I know he like fractured his cheekbone against Brighton, and that curtailed his season, but he's been brilliant this season. He has Nico Williams, and he hasn't let Wales down recently, and he hasn't let us down. So hopefully he can carry on with that. And if he's on set pieces, it can't be any worse than what we've done this season, because we've been horrific haven't we, from corners and free kicks, etc. So, yeah, if he can put better quality into the box, then you never know.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. Completely agree. And I think his fullback partner, Harry Toffolo, will be crying out to come back on set pieces, because he's shown time and time again that he's up there with the best crosses of the ball at the club. But I think we'll leave it there. Thank you for joining me, Tom, and thank you, listener. We really appreciate it. If you want to find us on social media or wherever you want to listen to us, you can find all the links on 1865.football. That's the words, 1865.football. Hopefully we'll see you at Fan Park at the weekend, and we'll be back for a match report after the Crystal Palace game, which, fingers crossed, will be a positive one. But until then, let's spur Forest on, let's support them, get a weekend win, and come on, you Reds, have a brilliant weekend.
Podcast Network.